If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody. And I would like to point out that Shot Tracker is not sponsoring this podcast, despite several efforts after the last game.
It has to
we actually denied them. We told them that we didn't need their sponsorship.
Yes. Yeah, so for those of you that were watching the basketball game, you saw the really awkward digital overlays of where players were on the court and how many points they had. Anyways, we're joined tonight by a special guest, the insider of the 23 Personnel Podcast, Preston.
Hello.
I'm no insider, by the way.
Preston is my brother. Been a tech fan with me for a decade. He's we are at 23 Personnel HQ Far East.
Far East.
Far East.
Sounds so exotic.
We are in Dallas.
Oh, man.
At the parents' house, getting ready to head out to some Thanksgiving festivities with the family, seeing the brother, his wife, and the niece. If you hear kids screaming, it's my son and my niece playing just outside the door, which isn't much of a door. So
that's how it should be at Thanksgiving. You should just hear random children screaming at times.
So, yeah. We are doing some, I guess, last-minute prep for our trip. Sorry, I look over at my brother. He's just laughing at me. He's been real helpful. We are cooking dressing. Well, I say we.
It's famous.
I'm not actually cooking. I'm in the office recording.
We started it though.
Yeah, we did. We actually made the cornbread. It's the cornbread dressing.
You guys actually make the cornbread? That is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we take the cornbread and grind it up.
That's the extra step.
The corn. Excuse me.
Yeah, man, it's from scratch.
You've got a mule in the backyard just grinding corn.
Mm-hmm. We did that. We made some pumpkin pies. Anyways, wanted to see what you guys were doing for the holiday. You guys making any food, traveling anywhere?
Not yet. I'm traveling about 13 blocks north to my mom's house on Thursday, and tomorrow will
so
be
HQ far north.
Yeah, HQ far north. I mean, it is a whole stoplight away.
Oh man,
we're probably going to need to take, you know, a gas can in case we run out. But the only thing I've really got going is we had to do the math, and I currently have 2 turkey breasts de-thawing in the fridge as of yesterday.
You're not doing a full turkey?
Nah, because there's just 3 of us and
weak.
My daughter, so we're not going to do a full turkey this year. But I'm going to brine both of those tomorrow night and get that prepped, and then throw them on the smoker Thursday morning. That's my contribution. And then Allison's making her famous dressing. My mom is making all sorts of stuff. She told us what all it was. I can't even remember it all. But I know that broccoli, cheese, and rice casserole made the list, which is one of the main things that mattered to me, as well as deviled eggs and pumpkin pie. So we're in good shape.
If you're making a pumpkin pie, then yeah, you're in good shape. The rest of that,
we're good.
You can probably skip.
Although, now, do you guys go for the Ready Whip or Cool Whip? Cool Whip.
The Ready Whip in the can.
And do you just drench it? Do you just go all out, or
not like, that's the only way.
I mean, not like you smother it, but you got to have some height to it. Yeah.
Yeah. A respectable little bit of height. I guess that's exactly what you need, because you can't, you kind of can drench it, but it does deceive the purpose of not just eating a plate of Ready Whip.
Yeah. All right, let's talk some Texas Tech sports. We got a lot on the notes document because we're in the middle of two seasons right now. Got two concurrent seasons. So last night the basketball team won against USC in a game where they looked like they were going to comfortably coast, they being USC. They were up by 13 at one point in the first half. You just looked all kinds of uncomfortable and just out of sorts. You're missing some really weird shots. I don't know what was said at halftime. The team came out and played completely different and ended up winning by 12. So it's a pretty good swing there. To move into the winner's bracket to play Nebraska right now, I'm pulling it up on the other phone. And it's probably going to try to play over the speakers, which is a bad idea. Yep, here it
goes. I'm trying to watch it right now, that the St. John's VCU game went into overtime on ESPN2, so it's
nobody
the Tech games on ESPN News. I agree, but I don't think I can change the channel right now. But yeah, the game last, you know, you mentioned the first half. Geez, it was pretty rough. That seemed like they were passing up shots a lot more. We kept talking about it in our Slack chat about the guys needing to be a little bit more aggressive, and you know, that's probably what Beard told them. Was he probably just pulled up our Slack chat,
went
through that a little bit, point by point, along with the shot tracker.
Yeah, he said, hey Mooney, you need to get on this.
Yeah. You need to, if you get an open look, you need to just take a shot. Because at one point, I can't remember exactly what the score was, but Culver had 7, and then anyone else who scored only had 2. So I think it was 17, actually. There were 5 guys with just 1 bucket, and then Culver had 7. It was pretty rough. But that was great to see them come back the way they did, and it didn't even look like this. They were playing the same team. They made USC look pretty inept at times in that second half.
Yeah. So the second half, you were talking about 55 points on 84% shooting. It was at one point they had missed more free throw attempts than field goals.
Ooh.
Which is efficient.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. All right. And then, like I said, tonight they're playing Nebraska. Actually, right now they're playing Nebraska. Then on Saturday, they're playing Northern Colorado back home in Lubbock. Michael, you said you're going to that game?
I am. I'm going to go watch them play the Bears. And Northern Colorado is actually, they're 2-0 right now. They stomped, I don't even know what Colorado COL is.
If you travel for work, you know to pack 2 suits, business and swim. You know, with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/business.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Colorado Colonial? Colonel Colorado? Whoever that was. They won 126-56, and they beat Pepperdine 88-80, but they play Incarnate Word. UIW. UIW. They play them tomorrow, so we'll have a direct correlation before we take them on Saturday. I may have mentioned this before, but Saturday is going to be good because no matter what happens in the Baylor game, I'll just get to go to a basketball game at 4:30 and just enjoy that.
Yeah.
Instead.
Well, speaking of UIW, we're going to talk a little bit about Eric Morris when we start talking about football. Apparently, his name's getting thrown around for another head coaching vacancy spot. Yeah, as my brother like awkwardly whispers into the microphone, not Texas Tech. but first, let's talk about our boy Tweezy.
Who's Tweezy?
Antoine Wesley.
Oh.
So the finalists for the Biletnikoff Award were announced yesterday. Yes, yesterday.
Oh yeah.
And
sorry.
Let's look at the stats for these three guys. Right, there's three receivers. One of obviously they're receivers. It's a whatever. Receiver A had 102 receptions, or has 102 receptions, 1,698 yards, and 13 touchdowns.
That is impressive.
I will.
Is it Crabtree impressive?
No.
It's no, okay. No. That's, oh my gosh. That's insane.
There you go.
So receiver B has 51 catches, so exactly half as many as A. 1,002 yards and 10 receptions, or sorry, 10 touchdowns. Receiver C has 75 receptions and 1,344 yards. So do you know who those receivers are, Michael?
Not really. You put the names there, but I'm not really sure who they play for.
Okay, well, so let's throw in Antoine Wesley. So he has 84 receptions for 1,375 yards and 9 touchdowns.
He's right up there in the mix.
Yeah, so if you were to look at all four of those receivers, and I put it on a Twitter poll like a couple hours ago, and I asked, which one of these receivers does not belong? Right, because if you're talking about the Biletnikoff Award finalists, there's three finalists, and I listed four receivers. Which one of those does not belong? 77% of the votes went for receiver B, who had 51 receptions, 1,000 yards, and 10 touchdowns. Michael, why don't you tell us who receiver B was?
It is not Antoine Wesley.
Nope, definitely not. Jerry Jeudy from Alabama.
But yet he SEC. Made the finalists. But that, yeah, that's SEC. All that matters.
Or Bama.
God.
8%.
Hey, they're good at offense now too, y'all.
Yeah. Well,
they finally got a good quarterback.
Oh gosh, yeah, he is pretty good.
Receiver A is some dude named Isabella, who plays for UMass. So his numbers are impressive, but when you consider competition, it's nothing. There's actually somebody that retweeted or replied to the Biletnikoff Twitter account and said that's like including somebody from, oh gosh, what was it? Some like random conference, like
the D3 school or something.
Yeah, it's like that's like including some quarterback from D3 because he has as good a stats as somebody from a Power 5 school. It doesn't make any sense. Like UMass plays nobody. And he's probably the one receiver on their team. He's got 100 receptions. That's a lot.
When you're the only guy catching it.
Yeah. Receiver C is actually in the conference, Tylan Wallace.
OSU.
Yeah, Oklahoma State. 75 receptions, 1,344 yards, 11 touchdowns. I think what really hurt Wesley was...
Last week?
This last weekend where the Tech offense absolutely crapped the bed and he didn't do anything on the field.
Yeah, what did he have, 28 yards?
How many targets did he get?
Well, like, he had like two receptions and maybe like three targets.
Two out of three ain't bad.
Yeah, but they're not looking at that. Anyways, so he did not make the Biletnikoff Award finalist list, which is just a shame. The other three guys are jokes, especially Jeudy. He's only on there because he plays for Alabama.
Well, is it weird that they make the final list before the final game?
Dum 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 dum.
Do you have to play all the games first? Hey, someone's phone is buzzing. It's driving me nuts.
It's actually my phone, the cell phone here.
Please, every time Slack goes off, it is killing me over here.
Well, it's also going off on your phone, probably.
No, it's not. It's yours.
I wonder if that is like going through the record. It has to be going through recording if you're picking it up. So, sorry, everybody.
Yeah. Sorry if y'all heard a bunch of buzzes. It was LeBar and Keith.
Blowing up the Slack chat.
Blowing up the Slack chat on a game that I can't watch yet.
No. All right. Let's talk some other football before we get into the game this weekend. We mentioned Eric Morris. So Texas State fired their head coach this week, today or yesterday.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. After Dennis Franchione, I've not kept up with him. And not even that, because that's the last time we played Texas State's when Franchione was the coach. And he ran their like really weird triple option. Like, not like Army or Navy or anybody, but Arndt did not throw the ball. What's his name? Tyler Arndt. Which I saw. Only reason why I know that name is because I went through all those drive charts today and I saw that.
Gosh.
Did he transfer from somewhere?
Oh, I don't know. Probably.
Sounds familiar almost.
Anyway, so a couple of the early candidates for that position include Eric Morris and Mike Jinks.
Hey.
Both guys from your staff. A couple years ago, Mike Jinks has been up at Bowling Green for a while. I think has Seth Dagey as their quarterback coach.
He just got fired though, didn't he?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, Jinks
I thought so.
He got let go.
Because wasn't he the guy that got hired because their AD did a Google search?
What? He's just typing.
I'm pretty sure that's true.
Air raid coaches, hey, that'll work. Or like he saw the associate head coach titles, like, yeah, I want him.
That was really it. They're like, what? I think he looked up successful pass happy offenses and thought, well, let's try this guy. He works at this school that has this offense.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be a great head coach.
So it makes a whole lot more sense for him to come back to the state of Texas than it did for him to be up in Kentucky. But he's been thrown out there as a candidate for the Texas State job. Like I said, with Eric Morris. Besides that, nothing really interesting about that.
Well,
opening.
You know why Eric Morris is?
Because he's trying to get out of San Antonio.
No, his team made the FCS playoffs first year.
Oh, yeah. I've not been keeping up with him.
It's on Twitter, because
they. Well, they're set to play Iowa State unless they win their first playoff game. If they lose their playoff game, then they'll go ahead and play Iowa State, but obviously if they win, then they'll still be in the playoffs.
Is that a makeup game?
Yeah, it is, because remember...
Oh, from like their very first game that got rained out?
Right, but I don't even know if that was who they were supposed to play.
Softies.
Originally.
They do this? Makeup games? I didn't know that.
Well, because I think they're trying to get both teams to have a 12th game, and Iowa State probably thinks they needed a whole lot more than...
Hey, I found that article from the Toledo Blade about Bowling Green hiring Jinks.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. With Bowling Green fresh off a Mid-American Conference title powered by one of the country's highest-flying offenses, then AD Chris Kingston wanted to keep a good thing going. So he Googled which team had the best offense that year, noted it was Texas Tech, and essentially targeted the top Red Raiders assistant he could afford. Conservatively speaking, it was the dumbest coaching search in college football history.
That's
never
awful.
Mind that Jinks, then the 43-year-old running back's aide at Tech, was a career Texas high school coach with 3 years of college experience, none as a coordinator, or that Texas Tech didn't even run the same scheme as Bowling Green. No small thing if continuity was the main selling point. Or that Jinks had never so much set foot in Ohio.
Oh, it's not Kentucky, it's Ohio. Look at that. What do I know?
But anyway, that was I knew I'd seen that somewhere. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. All right. I said one more thing. There's actually one more thing we're going to talk about before we get to the Baylor game. There was an article from Pete Christie that came out today, this evening maybe.
Made me cry.
Yeah, November 20th.
I wept big tears.
Well, here's the thing. The title was a little bit like inflammatory. I was like, hold on a second. Well, not really inflammatory. I got defensive when I read it because it says Red Raiders want to win for Coach Kingsbury.
I have not read this.
Well, and what made me, I guess defensive is I actually misread the title. Like it makes a whole lot more sense when you said Red Raiders want to win for Coach Kingsbury and not, Red Raiders want Coach Kingsbury to win. I was like, the way I read it, I was like thinking he was calling anybody that wants Kingsbury to be fired, not Red Raiders. I was like, nah, bro, that's the opposite.
Oh, okay.
But he's talking about Red Raiders, the actual members on the team.
Yes.
Wanting to, anyways, it's talks about all these players, TJ Vasher, Jadeon High, Rico Jeffers, talking about how they feel a little bit of extra pressure to win this game to help secure Kingsbury's future. You can be okay over there, man. Sorry, we're having some just cracking.
He's choking up?
Yeah, a little bit. He's crying. He's wanting Kingsbury to. Yeah. He wants that win number 6.
I tried to warn you. I tried to warn you. It was touching.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about this win number 6. This game 12 on the schedule this weekend against the Baylor Bears.
This phantom.
Hey, win? I just so everyone knows, I'm fully back on the Kingsbury train.
That didn't take long.
I'm back on. Nope. I'm back on. I'm ready to go. You know, ask me again tomorrow. It'll probably be a different answer. I've been texting my friend Adam back and forth, and I think we have 3 or 4 answers every day.
I will ask you on Saturday.
Ask me on Saturday.
After the game.
Yeah.
Probably before, too. Let's get both of them.
So I'm going to point to the S&P rankings again. I think it's all 12 games we've done this.
You just love those, don't you?
I do, and it helped my confidence last weekend to like look and they're like, look how bad Kansas State is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that happened. I was like, well, crap.
Hey, Mahomes is at the basketball game tonight.
Cool.
I'm watching it live now.
Oh, yeah.
We're good.
What's the score?
Very professional podcasting. Sorry. Tech is up 16-15.
Ooh, 1 point. Okay. The S&P rankings. I don't know where Texas Tech is officially. I think they're 25 to 30-ish overall. No, they're a little lower than that. They're like the 30s or 40s. Anyways, Baylor overall 90th. Can't get much lower than that. Offense is 62nd. Weighted down though by their defense, 94th. As bad as Kansas State's, or just a little bit worse. Although that Kansas State defense held you to 6 points.
Vaunted.
Well, because Jed Duffy was on like one leg, man.
Well, if you make that excuse,
we found this out later.
If you make
that excuse, he had a boot on.
If you make that excuse, there has been some weird comments from Kingsbury about having Colt Garrett ready to go.
Because Duffy's hurt. What are the weird comments?
Well, because he said we hope to have Carter and Duffy available.
I heard Carter was taking first team reps.
Oh,
before I read that.
Oh, see, look, insider. Here we go. Carter, first team reps. Now, hopefully that helps because last week when we saw him come in, it was disaster after disaster.
Well, he flat out said that Garrett needs to be ready to play.
It's been, what, 12 weeks since he played?
No, he played against TCU.
He
had a series against TCU.
That's right.
And it was just as bad. Well, no, it wasn't just as bad. He didn't fumble on the first play and then throw at the defense the next three throws. He didn't get sacked and limped off the field. So,
to be honest.
Oh, here we go.
It's
honesty hour.
That last quarter of the Kansas State game. You know how you watch recorded TV and you hit fast forward once and you hit it again and it goes 2 or whatever, it incrementally gets faster. I watched that fourth quarter fast forwarded.
at like one button push or two button pushes?
One button push. I had to get through it.
That's better than watching it live, because I did not have control over that. And I was like,
I saw he went in, and it looked like he threw a pick, and I'm like, yeah, he probably did. And I just kept going.
It should have been intercepted. The first one could have been a pick six.
The second one, I don't even know how the guy didn't catch it. I think he just had no idea it was going to come.
He was so surprised.
Yeah, it hit him in the numbers, I'm pretty sure.
Just like that Texas kickoff.
Yeah, that like the onside kickoff where Hatfield drilled that guy in the front row. He's like, no idea that ball was coming right in his face. It reminds me of
Waterboy.
Like, who's it going to be?
Who's my... I don't know, kind of, there's my, and he just kicks it.
Who's it gonna be? There he is. All right, so that's interesting. Tidbit here for you: McLean Carter taking first team reps. Hopefully, it looks a lot more like the start of the Ole Miss game than the TCU or Kansas State games.
Well, yes, please.
But that's it's hope.
Apparent he needs first team reps or.
Well, it's apparent any of these quarterbacks need first-team reps, because apparently with Kingsbury, if you're not getting first-team reps, you're basically like holding the other guy's jockstrap at practice, not doing jack, because the second-team guy, whenever he comes in, not ready. Looks lost.
What? Whatever, man. You're just a hater.
Man, I'm just calling it like it is. Okay, how did Alan Bowman do the first quarter he came in for McLean Carter?
Okay, the first time he'd ever taken a snap of a Big 12 D1 college football game. He did okay.
How did Duffy look the first time he came in for Alan Bowman when he went down with his lung injury?
He got us within 8 points.
No. That was the second half, right? The first half was straight garbage.
Before he threw that pick, he was doing good.
I think he only played one series in the first half.
Then
maybe
let's look at Carter when he came in for Duffy and TCU. For example, Carter when he came in for Duffy against Kansas State.
No, that's just his ankle hasn't healed.
Oh, but he's gonna be ready to go now.
He's ready to go now. Yeah, I think the environment, they won't have to worry about heaters or jackets or anything like that.
Oh, that was the dumbest thing.
And Jerry sense. World.
Was that thing blown up more than it should be?
Probably.
Yeah, and I didn't even believe that at first when us. I kept hearing it.
But... Well, no, because it was our best friend Chris Lovell reported that on the pregame show, that he was reporting from the sideline he had to go over to Kansas State side to warm up because Texas Tech did not bring heaters or jackets or blankets or whatever they were going to have on the sideline, because he said it was going to be a distraction. Which I think was a vast overreaction from when they did have all that stuff in Ames in 2016 and got motorboated, whatever, blown out. Not motorboated.
Yeah, that's not it.
Jeez, Mahomes, what are you doing over there? Boat raced. There's the boat reference I'm looking for.
I know, I couldn't even think of it. I kept thinking truck, but I was like, that's not it.
Oh my goodness! Wow. Okay, so this may be a short episode because we're rolling on fumes here, I guess. So you own S&P Plus rankings advantage in every category over Baylor. There will be no weather to contend with. You both are trying to get to your sixth win. Whatever that means for the team. Maybe there's more urgency for Texas Tech to get that. I just don't put any stock into that helping the team perform any better. If you look at the team stats, which I generally throw out because they're usually garbage, team stats, you own every... There's a statistical advantage in every category except for yards rushing. And... passing yards allowed.
Yeah, and even those are really close. Well, I don't know. Passing yards allowed, that's 50 yards separate.
Yeah, well, that's one drive for Texas Tech. If you put any stock into that, ESPN has their power index giving you a 76% chance to win against Baylor. which I think it was about that much for Kansas State too. So
yeah.
The line, according to ESPN at this time, was -6.5 for Texas Tech. Again, right where it was for Kansas State. So I want to go around the table here because we're all sitting around a table and get everybody's preview, predictions, keys to the game. Michael, let's go with you first. How do you see this game playing out on Saturday, and who do you think wins?
Okay. I think the Red Raiders will win.
Of course you
do. I do not think they'll cover because Baylor has kind of picked it up a little bit this year. Definitely had a much more successful year than their 1-11 first year outing with Matt Rhule. They can throw the ball a little bit.
But talk Brewer's about that,
done
that,
pretty well.
That turnaround, though, win one game in 2017, and now trying to get your sixth win in 2018.
That's pretty good.
That's improvement.
It makes me think there's probably something fishy going on. I think we should start some rumors.
Is that because your coach can't do that?
No, it's because he hasn't.
And notice, I said your coach. Talking about you, Michael, your coach.
Don't use possessives on this podcast. But no, I think it's going to be pretty close. Obviously, I think it's going to be kind of ugly. I don't know. I just see it being a lot like Kansas State, except Tech will actually score a little bit. And Baylor's offense will be more than a little bit. Baylor's offense will be more formidable. So,
Baylor's defense only allows a couple more points per game than Kansas State's, and Baylor scores a touchdown more per game than Kansas State.
Well, there you go. So we're going to win 31-28.
I don't know, man. That's not what I said last week.
There's my very all-star preview brought to you by Shot Tracker.
All right. You want to go next, Preston, or you want me to go?
I'll go.
All right, man. How do you see this game playing out?
It's hard. I can't pick one outright. Just seeing the way that Tech has been playing lately, especially in the end of the years.
Yeah, man.
They did surprise me last year when they beat Texas in Austin. But it seems that Matt Rhule has, improving.
Yeah, he's got his team collapsing in the second half of the season.
Yeah, that and going one win one year and
winning five
the next is, I guess you'd call that improvement.
Yeah,
I guess it just depends on who's at quarterback and is he proficient and not turning the ball over.
Well, yeah, I was wondering that too, Preston. Because if we knew that,
yeah,
I could adjust my pick a little bit. Because supposedly Bowman is taking snaps this week, and
he's not going to.
They're not. I don't think so either. But they're not ruling him out, and I'm sure that's more just a ploy.
I would be a lot more confident if Bowman was starting.
No, I would too. I'd be like, we're going to win this game.
That's obvious, I would say, but.
But at the same token, I kind of don't want him to, because what if he gets hurt for this?
He's got the whole offseason to recover then.
That's true. That's true, because if he gets hurt, you're probably going to lose the game.
I do not wish for any injury.
No, of course not. Of course not.
But I can't pick it.
You not even like say.
Maybe Tech by 3. I don't know.
There you go.
Confidence, people.
Yeah. Confidence. There you go. Maybe Tech by 3. I'll take it.
So I was looking at the season, the team stats, and it shouldn't surprise me, but it does. The Texas Tech rushing leader is not a running back.
Jet Duffy
is your rushing leader. 79 carries for a whopping 369 yards.
That's what's killing Kingsbury is recruiting.
Oh, you're going there.
Yeah.
Not like the run game this year or the offensive line going backwards. Literally.
They do go backwards when they run.
I know. I don't get the, we talked about the offensive line supposedly being the strength of the offense going into the season, and they have gotten progressively worse week by week.
Yes.
Jeez.
I don't know how to fix it. I tried different running backs too.
I got some.
Yeah, you replace your offensive line coach.
Okay, I guess we could start there.
Second year?
I think it's his first.
Brandon Jones?
Maybe it's his second. Either way, it's not working.
It's his second, at least. Anyway, I was going to say this about recruiting. Zeno, the quarterback that we lost to Baylor?
Mm-hmm, yes. Again, another one.
I've read that. He did not commit to Kingsbury because of the uncertainty of his job. But he committed to Matt Rhule. At the same time, Rhule was interviewing for NFL jobs. What does that tell you?
Tell you he was getting paid.
See?
I mean, it's...
Let's start some rumors.
How do you get out-recruited by a guy interviewing when you... I can't even think right now.
It's frustrating is what it is.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing, boggling
of the mind. What happened to the... I hate bringing him up, but Leach... His offensive lines that were just walls.
Well, so they were just massive individuals, and they just took up space.
Yeah.
Which was effective.
Didn't he have the biggest and tallest? There was some stat, the biggest average height and weight of linemen in all of college football at some point.
I think at that time, it was like 2008 or 2009. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And then
several of those guys played
Brett
in the NFL.
Was like, no, I got it, bro.
What do you have, like a 6'10 guy or something? I remember that.
Hey, Texas Tech has like a 6'10 recruit committed.
Is that the kid from Wellington?
Yeah, but he's like six, like he's in like the 200 pounds. He's more like a basketball player.
He's bigger than that. He's got some heft on him, especially for a young lad.
Okay, but before we go into tearing Kingsbury down. No, we will get there. Let me give you my preview to the game. You're going to have Carter start. No, I don't think it matters who starts because Duffy apparently isn't healthy enough to run the ball. And that was really the only thing that helped him throw the ball was defenses having to account for that. Anybody else behind him, Carter or Garrett, like if you see them take significant time, throw the game. You know, it's not happening. I think Baylor is going to win this game.
Oh.
And I think it's going to be ugly and frustrating to watch because it's probably a game where you're thinking we should be winning this game if we hadn't done that stupid thing. Or if Daquan Bowman had a head on his shoulders and knew when to not return a kick.
Yes.
Or... if Carter could spin the ball the other direction, because that apparently is going to make a difference. I don't know.
Because he throws left-handed?
Yeah.
Really?
It's going to be backwards. It's going to throw off everybody.
Kind of like in the Southern Hemisphere, flush the toilet.
It spins the opposite direction. Yeah. Because here's the thing. Because when he takes the ball, he's going to be looking to...
his left?
Yeah. He'll be facing Vasher. And Vasher's not going to know what to do with himself. With all that attention.
It's not a hurricane, it's a typhoon.
Vasher's so... I don't know.
He's maddeningly inconsistent.
Yes. He'll make these great catches.
And then like a ball will hit him in the hands when he's not moving, and he'll miss it.
It's like it's got to be pressure on him for him to catch it.
Yeah, because like every game that he does something meaningful or noticeable, it's always some like ridiculous catch.
On but third then he's, down.
But then he's got, like, just astoundingly easy drops. I don't know if that phrase made sense. But, yeah, so I think, obviously, Baylor's going to cover. I think Baylor's going to win in the 4 to 8 point range. Be close. Be frustrating. You know, I'm going to go ahead and call it. You're going to be down 3 to 4 points going into halftime. He's going to
take a knee.
And Kingsbury's going to take a knee.
And this is a great segue into this thing that you have been dying
been
to talk
about. Stewing on this. So Saturday, I said, I'm not going to do the research. Well, today I did the research. I looked at every drive chart, no, game drive chart of Kingsbury's career at Texas Tech. And let me tell you what I found. Of the 74 games he's coached, you've taken a knee in 33 of those games, which is kind of a lot. Now, 20 of those 33 were games where you took a knee when you were ahead and won the game.
20 of the 33?
20 of the 33, which, like, 20 sounds like a lot, but then you think about it, like, well, when should you be taking a knee, right? You're trying to run out the clock. And if you're only doing it 61% of the time where you take a knee to run the clock out, what are you doing the rest of the time? Like, every other time that you're taking a knee, what are you doing? Let me tell you, because I found this out today. And the longer I looked into this, the more it made me mad. So, of those 33 games, 22 of them, you took a knee when you were tied or ahead, regardless of the outcome of the game. You took a knee in 11 games when you were trailing. You're trailing and you're taking a knee. Like, what the heck are you doing?
Do you know about how much?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, he does.
For every game, I can tell you how close it was. So there was one game where you were tied, but you went on to win that game. You went on to win that game. I meant to go back in here and add the final result, the score, because, like, this next game I'm going to point to, the 2013 Baylor game, you took a knee when you were down by 8 points in the second quarter to run the clock out. You ended up losing that game by at least 28 points. It was like a 63-34 type game, this very first one, right up here, or second one. 2014 at OSU, you were down by a touchdown. 2014 at Kansas State, you were down by 17. Like, why are you wasting? Like, you're down by three scores. 2015 versus TCU, you were down by 5. 2015 Baylor, you were down by 28.
Gosh, how do I not remember that, being down 49-21 to Baylor
at the half?
Oh.
2016 OU, you were down 30-24. 2016 Texas, you were down by 1 point, had almost 30 seconds left. You wanted to lose that game.
I don't remember that game.
2018, this year against Ole Miss, you were down 30-17. You took a knee. This year at Kansas State, down 10-6, you took a knee and lost the game. There are two anomalies on this list. You were down 2017 at Texas, 20-10, and took a knee, but you won that game. And you were down at TCU this year, 7-3, you took a knee, but won that game. Every other time you've taken a knee while behind, you've lost.
Amazing.
That's quite a few L's there.
That's a lot.
That's 10. I counted 10. So are you saying that we shouldn't take a knee if we're down?
It doesn't make any sense to take a knee while you're down.
Hail Mary it, man.
I mean, how long ago was it when we were talking about fortune favors the bold?
Oh, my gosh. It seems like every year. Maybe it was last year. Was it 2 years ago where that was really kind of his motto, where it seemed like that kept getting brought up?
Probably. Here's a point.
Wait, we were losing that year, didn't we? I mean, we had a losing record 2 years ago, didn't we?
2014? 2016. 2016, we went 7-6 because we lost in the bowl game.
We lost the bowl game.
2016?
No.
No, 2017 we lost the bowl game. 2016, I don't think we did.
No, we didn't go to a bowl game. We were 5-7 that year.
Yeah.
That's right. The year before was...
is when we played LSU and we went 7-6.
Yeah.
No, 2013 is when we played.
2013 was his first year.
The Holiday Bowl.
We went 7-0, and then 0-5.
Yeah.
And right. ASU after that.
And we played Arizona State, and we won that game. 2014, we went 4-8.
Yeah.
2015, we went 7-5. That's the year we played LSU and lost 7-6. The next year, we went 5-7. Then last year, we went 7-6. We lost South Florida. And this year is yet to be determined.
7-6, baby.
5-7. Okay, so the other thing I want to talk about when I was looking at all these, the times you took a knee. Obviously, when I looked at all the drive charts, I was obviously looking at your opponent. Of the 74 times you've played a game, of the 74 games where Kingsbury's been your head coach, the opponent has taken a knee against you 5 times. 5. And one of them was this past weekend. On the one. They took a knee on the one. Like, oh, we're not going to score. We're just going to take a knee.
Well, that's Bill Snyder. He's professional. Courteous.
Yeah, sure. My point is, dude, quit taking a knee when you're down. It's soft. You look weak. You look like you're giving up. It's stupid. You've won.
Okay, so if you run it and fumble it or throw a pick six, what do you say about that?
That you went down trying?
But you're still at halftime. You know, you're not going into half down 7 extra points or whatever.
Yeah, did you factor in if we got the ball at the half or not? Yeah, you need to rework this. Because if we get the ball at the half, then all right, take a knee. That's not the end of the world, because you'll get it right back. If you don't get it at the half, then it looks even worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't kneel it if they're receiving second half kick. I agree with that.
Well, I can go back and reduce this list if that's in fact true.
Can we do it live? It would take record forever. While you do it.
No, it would take too long. All right. So we've done our previews and predictions. We've gone through that ridiculous exercise of looking at when Kingsbury takes a knee, which is just stupid. Stop doing it. Because here's the thing. There are times when you're blowing a team out that you would think you would be taking a knee, and you're not. Like, there was a game a couple years ago against Kansas. You were up like 55-16. Did not take a knee in that game. The game you played against Sam Houston State, and you beat them like 70-10. You did not take a knee in that game.
Sam Houston State.
A team that maybe you should show a little bit of mercy to. You did take a knee against Lamar. 77-0. I'll just throw that out there.
There's your mercy right there.
All right. Okay. Let's do questions. Red Reset Man says, even if we do beat Baylor, did the egg that the team laid last week doom Kingsbury this offseason? I say yes. Michael, I think, says no.
I do.
Preston, you break the tie.
Okay.
If Texas Tech wins this weekend,
yes.
Is Kingsbury still fired because of how bad last weekend was?
Well, Kirby Hokut last year said he wants to see improvement, right? At that point, it was 6-6. So the best possible outcome this season, not counting the bowl, was 6-6. That is not what I would call improvement.
So Red Recent Man comes, like, his next, after the question, he's got a statement. He says, I can't see Hokut giving him an extension after a 6-6 year. Because it's not just retaining him. I think Kingsbury's got 2 years left on his contract.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is like unheard of low in terms of years. Like, nobody gets this far into their contract if they're not going to be extended. It would look really bad to extend him if he just goes 6-6 when last year he said he needs to see improvement. And when everybody says, well, the defense is improved, maybe that'll be the deep dive stat research we do next week, because I don't think it's as improved as we all think it is. You're still giving up stupid amount of points. Times when you absolutely need to stop, you're not getting it. The turnovers you were forcing last year, you haven't done. Like, They just... I understand recovering fumbles is kind of like it takes luck. You're not even forcing fumbles this year. You're not outside of Adrian Fry. You're not intercepting the ball.
Well, Murray threw it right to
Vontae Dorsey twice.
Yeah.
Yes.
That counts, right? No, yes. But it is frustrating that the turnovers have just decided not to show up this year.
Which, again, like if you were forcing fumbles but not recovering them, yeah, that's one thing. I'm like, okay, well, that just bad luck. It bounced the wrong way.
TCU last year?
Yeah. 7 fumbles. You recovered one of them. This year, you're not doing it like at all.
Yeah.
Not very many.
And this game, he's in the same position he was last year, sort of. He needs a big win at the end of the year, but it's not Texas.
I'm about to say, like, you need a big win, but you're not playing a big team. You're playing Baylor.
Right.
Okay, so you win game 6 against Baylor. You're not going to feel as good about getting the 6 wins as you did last year. We're like, oh, my gosh, we beat Texas in Austin. Heck, yeah. This year, like, we beat Baylor in Arlington. Whoop-de-doo.
Right.
They were 1-11 last year.
Right. That's last year, though, man. They're 5-6 this year. Formidable.
Okay. Yeah. Last year.
Yes, a 5-6 team is formidable.
Formidable foe.
Apologist. Tyler Timmons, best Thanksgiving so I also asked for Thanksgiving traditions. He says, mine is going to the ranch to hunt with my son. As far as the game goes, I have no idea. So another person like Preston doesn't know how to feel about this game. Hearing Bowman is practicing in full, which is different. I hadn't heard that yet. If he plays, I feel confident we get the W. Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, I think if Bowman plays the entire game and as
sharp as he's been,
he just needs to not be Iowa State, Alan Bowman.
Yeah. Well, that's a tough defense.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, as long as you don't get that kind of performance against Baylor, I think you probably win comfortably. But who knows who's going to start at quarterback? You said Carter. This Tyler is saying Bowman.
I think I read that they're trying to limit
Bowman. It would make sense to limit Bowman, but I don't know.
All right, let's say this. Let's say he trots Colt Garrett out there, and Tech does win with their fourth string quarterback. Would that warrant an extension?
No,
would that
because
be a scenario
just,
that could possibly
it's one of those things where
change your mind?
I think that it says more about how bad Baylor is than how good Kingsbury was able to get the offense and how ready he was able to get them.
So, okay, I got the quote.
What you got?
This is Kingsbury saying he's a full participant in practice, but, you know, I'm not sure of his status. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, because that was like the crux of the awkward exchange between he and Don Williams a couple weeks ago when Don was like, was he medically cleared? He's like, I don't make that call, Don.
So he's practicing, but he may not be cleared to play the game? So that.
Yeah, I don't know. Not that I want him to fail. And I want him to hold Bowman out. But it doesn't... I mean, it makes sense to try to play Bowman if he's healthy. I don't think he should because he's already injured and re-injured that thing twice now. I mean, yes, it's a deflated lung and it apparently pops back. But at one point is like the risk of re-injury or the risk of making it a more severe injury just not worth it.
Yeah.
This is like a crazy rare injury, though.
Yeah.
And to have it happen twice is even crazier.
Wait, so I would just chalk up the second one to it wasn't being fully healthy. Because the hit he took to re-injure it against Oklahoma was not very hard. It didn't look like he got hit.
Dirty.
I don't think it was dirty.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it wasn't like the hit against West Virginia where, like...
He got sandwiched?
Yeah, it looked like it hurt. I just don't know. I also think Baylor's dirty enough that they would try to do something stupid. Like, we're going to hit him in the side. We're going to hit him in the ribs.
Like, you hear about that fight when they got in Iowa State.
Against Iowa State, because who was it? Was it David Montgomery who was trying to eyeball, like, got to... Dang it. Here we are throwing our phones. Well, I say we. I, like, knocked the phone on my hand and try to catch it. Then knocked Preston's off the table. All good
that things. That always makes things worse.
And of course, you don't hear any of this, probably. And we're just like, whoa! Gosh, what were we saying?
We're talking about how thuggish Montgomery's
fight.
Thuggish, yes, because we're talking about them getting a fight with Iowa State. And I can't remember if it was Hakeem Butler or David Montgomery. They were trying to, like, gouge out somebody's eyeballs when they're on the bottom of the pile. Let me see if I can look that up real quick.
It was probably Baylor. I'm going to give Iowa State the benefit of the doubt because of Baylor's history. You know, Matt Rule didn't exactly clean house, did he? With all the Browse recruits, did he?
No, not really.
Yeah, so.
I think they were given the chance to transfer if they wanted to, but I may be mistaken about that.
Oh, my gosh, Preston. Sorry, I'm trying to read here, and it's not helping. This is great podcasting.
Empty space.
What are you trying to read?
This article on the fight between Baylor and Iowa State, trying to see who started it. It was, or who
Texas.
Got his... How dare you? Because they can do no wrong in the eyes of the officials.
I'm sure we got the penalty for that, too.
Someone put some horns down somewhere, and they just sparked the whole thing.
All right, let's move on. Okay, Adele says, just an observation, the postgame presser coach looked like a lawyer who had to go tell his death row client the stay had been lifted and the guards were warming up the chair. Yeah, he looked like he looked pretty miserable. I don't know if it was because he was out in the cold for 4 hours or just the gravity of the situation was hitting him and he realized he was likely going to lose his job this weekend.
I think it was just bad lighting.
Okay, dude.
It's all the heaters from the heaters giving out the glow from the Kansas State sideline.
Yeah, probably. No, it looked like he looked drained, just beaten down. Which, I mean, sorry, dude, but you should when you lose a game like that. You look, yeah. She says, also, I think Spencer got a bad turducken. Yeah, I'm not sure. It was just...
I remember that turducken. It was pretty gamey.
Yeah.
Because we were...
It was here in this house.
Yeah.
You can corroborate his turducken story.
Was not impressed.
She says, if we go bowling, I'll bring a good one for the tailgate. If we go bowling, we're probably going to Houston, right? To the Texas Bowl? Yeah, I'm not going to that bowl game.
I don't look into predictions.
I will look into predictions once we get to 6 wins. How about that? Counterproductive at Paxton CD says, I'm still on the head coach Cliff Kingsbury stays on one more year because my mindset is 1 year of possibility has more reset value than 1 year of new set scheme, etc. And I can dang sure see the improvement of the program, if not the improvement of the record through this year. Yeah, I mean,
air raid.
A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how the team wasn't fading in the second half. And we were specifically talking about the games. Oh, yeah. We were, you're a second half team. You did so well.
It just doesn't seem to really matter.
Well, it mattered early on in the season when you were coming back in the second half. So lately, your second halves haven't been good enough. And it hasn't been.
Well.
Like, more globally, the second half of the season, obviously, you're losing 4 games in a row, maybe 5.
We were doing well until we got Crabtree against Texas. Coming back down 17.
Yeah, I don't know, because you couldn't stop him on that drive. Like, you had I had no faith that your defense was going to make a stop.
It was so frustrating because we got a 3-and-out the drive before.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But you kind of saw it coming. That was the bad thing about that. Yeah. They got it back with a minute 40, and I just thought, oh, well, at the very least, they're going to get the field goal range. Yeah.
Like,
We got Crabtree'd, really.
Yeah, 2008 Crabtree. Like, because like I said, the defender, was it Douglas Coleman? Whoever it was.
Oh, Coleman or Fry?
Yeah, they couldn't have played it any better.
Yeah, he was like, he had his hands between Humphrey's hands. And it went, like, the ball went through the defender's hands, got all the way back to Humphrey's. And then Humphrey, like, he caught the ball in the five, didn't take a step, but, like, stumbled backwards into the end zone.
Yeah.
I don't want to go through that again. Counterproductive replies. It's like a thread. He replies to himself and says, I'm not happy by any stretch, but I'm also snake bit from previous coaching turmoil, and I don't want this group being Hocutt, Kingsbury, Witt, Gibbs, Kevin Johns, to lose a chance to come back deeper across than almost any other roster they can talk about. Maybe I'm wrong, but look at my handle.
So, what's he saying? Coaching turmoil?
If you're talking about Tuberville, yeah. like it's hard to say, like, Tuberville sucked, but he recruited a lot of really good athletes. You missed a bowl game once in his
3 years.
3 years, yeah. You missed a bowl game twice now with Kingsbury, maybe a third time in 6 years.
Tuberville came in spouting championships.
Well,
everybody got
through. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I think that he was coming in at a disadvantage anyways. He was the next guy after Leach, right? Everybody, so many people were up in arms about Leach being fired. And it didn't matter who was going to be the next head coach. It was going to be rough. I mean, he recruited guys that, like, changed your like, DeAndre Washington was a Tuberville recruit. Jason Morrow was a Tuberville recruit.
Jakeem Grant,
yeah.
Other guys like Bradley Marquez, Reggie Davis.
Delbon Simmons? Yeah.
Delbon Simmons sighting. No, it was who's the other one? Michael?
Leon Mackey, yeah.
No.
Michael who? Oh, Michael Starts.
Michael Starts. It was a Michael Starts sighting. Oh, God. It's also a joke about that defensive tackle, like a five-star defensive tackle that showed up and never made it. All right. Keith submits, on a scale of 10 to 10, how wrong are people that call it stuffing? Well, if they're actually wrong and are calling dressing stuffing, because stuffing actually goes into the turkey, then yeah, they're wrong. Because I think actual stuffing is like a lot of rice, too, because it's supposed to help it cook more evenly. Like the inside of a bird. I don't know.
Just sounds complicated.
Yeah, trying to make sure that the meat is properly cooked and the stuffing is cooked. That's too much. Just put a good dressing.
I just don't want raw poultry juice. I don't want raw poultry juice dripping into my stuff at any point. So let's go with 10 for 10 on the scale.
Yeah.
Okay, Brian. I got a question.
Sorry. Before we get to Brian's question.
I don't know. Have y'all talked about this? Your preferred way of cooking the turkey? I think you have, actually.
Don't boil it.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, I like a fried turkey.
I like the skin of a fried turkey, yeah.
I like a smoked turkey.
I feel it comes out juicier. Fried.
I'd have to taste test it. I have to have, like, all three. You know, like a baked, smoked, and a fried.
We've had
been years. So I can take my notes. I didn't get into it on Saturday. I still have my notes from the chili cook-off with me on the desk. Not that I was going to tell you about them, but I try to be, like, fair. Like, I took notes and was like, well, this one had beans, and this one was sweet, and this one tasted like poo, and this one was spicy, and this one wasn't. And
I just love that Rob, you rated Rob's win. The best. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, he was my number one. Rob, if you're listening, man, I was in your corner, man. I had you number one.
Those other judges,
the
didn't
other two
know
judges had
about.
You at two, I think. And they both had Twan at number one. I had Twan at number two. So there was just, it was two against one. I fought for you, man.
Spencer's tough but fair.
Yours was my favorite. And then Twan's, and the guy that put smoked brisket in his was my number third.
Oh, that's good.
Brisket, my number three.
Brisket and beans.
Brisket
and beans, excuse me.
Yes, he did have beans in his.
I like
Twan
baked beans.
And Rob did not have beans.
Baked beans with a little bit of brisket in it.
Well, smoked brisket on anything is really good. So
well,
yeah,
I've never had it.
I'm gonna have to somehow coordinate a taste testing between baked, fried, and smoked turkey one time.
Yeah, we should do this.
Fried.
I think
I volunteer to smoke the turkey because I don't want to smoke my house. I don't trust myself with 370 degrees of hot peanut oil.
Well, just don't throw the turkey in when it's still frozen. That's all you got to do. You've seen those videos.
It's easier said than done, apparently.
Score update.
There's so many videos.
Yeah. Texas Tech is leading Nebraska 36-34. If this comes back to bite us, because we're doing this on the recording, 38-34. All right. Brian, put in Pitt, says, one, what do you think the number one factor is in the disappearance of the running game?
O-line.
It'd have to be O-line, but I don't know what's changed with the O-line, why they've sucked.
Do you think it matters at all that we've played so many running backs?
No.
Does that affect anything? Do they have different styles? I don't know.
I mean,
but it sounds like the line would probably be, that's the constant.
Yeah, it's.
But it
starts
just,
and ends with the O-line.
Oh yeah, and it just seems like these guys have a lot of different styles, and I don't know. Alignment doesn't adjust to who's running though, so that doesn't make any sense. I'm glad I worked this through while someone was recording it.
Are there any injuries on the O-line recently or from the beginning?
Jacob Hines, Saywars wasn't. He didn't play last week. Bailey Smith.
I think Bruffy's been in and out.
Bruffy. Sorry, I got distracted for a second. All right, Brian also asked, what's your Thanksgiving meal plan of attack? Sorry, Thanksgiving meal plan of attack.
Like, what are we eating or in what order? Or
just how do you, okay.
You gotta go light.
My plan of attack is to My plan of attack is to have some of every single thing, even if I don't think I should.
That's what I do.
Yeah, me too.
I get a little bit of everything the first round, and then like I'll go second round and get what I really like.
Well, see, here's the thing. I'm especially when it's like a family Thanksgiving. I know what to expect. Like when I see, this dressing that my mom's putting together, I know I'm gonna like it. I don't to like save room for a second trip. I'm gonna go ahead and like load up the first time through. Yes, green bean casserole is good. I'm not gonna load up on it. Or like Jell-O fluff, like the pink fluff that shows up on a lot of Thanksgiving menus.
Gosh, yeah, is that ambrosia or something?
It's okay. It's not something I'm going to like get in the first time through just to say I got a little bit of everything.
I'll tell you something else I do. If I'm at like this time, I'll be at my mom's house, or if I'm at my own house or whatever, I will definitely snack before we eat. So I will be the guy rummaging through the kitchens, stealing a couple of deviled eggs here and there, maybe a brown and serve roll, maybe a little sample of something before people even plate their food.
Brown and serve roll, is that?
Those are good.
No. You gotta go for the Hawaiian sweet rolls.
Those are okay, but like the little pan of them that like.
No.
Oh my.
They're so dry.
Dude.
That's why you load them up.
Gravy.
You load them up with like cranberry sauce and turkey and dressing and gravy.
I like a moist
butter.
And you think a mass produced tray of Hawaiian rolls?
What do you think brown and serve are?
They're made from the heart.
Oh my god.
They're I would say you've got more opportunity to make it, put some good flavor into a brown and serve than you are to a Hawaiian roll.
Have you ever had a Hawaiian roll?
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, exactly.
You make little pulled pork sandwiches with them.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Hawaiian roll. I think ham. I think ham, if you're having ham, then you should have Hawaiian rolls.
Brown and serve, like, you need butter, and then like
you
can dip them in like the mashed potatoes and gravy, or just eat them straight.
No, it's too dry.
Whatever.
Even with all that, it's still too dry.
So I'm not a snacker, but I'm also not going to be trying to test everything that's there.
No, you got to test everything.
You got to save a little. You do have to save a little bit of room for the dessert, the pies. So that cream cheese pumpkin pie I made this past weekend. Oh no, the battery's dying in the phone. We got to wrap up here pretty soon. For everybody listening, it wasn't your phone. It was mine. Had to turn off. So we were watching the Nebraska Texas Tech game, and we like lost 10% of battery in a couple of minutes. 39-34 right now. Texas Tech still up on top in the second half. So yeah, the cream cheese pumpkin. I don't know if I mentioned it. Made that for family dinner on Sunday. We're remaking it again for Thanksgiving. We made two this time. Have to save room for that. Again, not a person that says I'm going to need to try all the pies or desserts and get like small pieces. I'm just going to go after one I know I'm going to like and just get a healthy slice. Not drown it in the Cool Whip or the Ready Whip, but it's going to have some whipped cream topping on it.
Yeah, you got to round it out. And then after that, you need, you know, a little bit of turkey and dressing to take the sweet taste out. You just got to have a little bit at the end. Got to end on that.
What are you doing over there?
No power mode.
Hey, Cooper. 6%. Cooper, right, Burnett. Fine. Cooper Burnett has one question. Maybe we can cover it real quick. He asked for possible bowl scenarios and best Thanksgiving pie. And the only bowl scenario I see right now is for us to head to the Cheez-It Bowl.
And where is that?
That is in Phoenix, Arizona at Chase Field the day after Christmas. And
what's the time?
We would be playing Cal.
No. No, give me,
that's
give me
our projection.
The Texas Bowl against like an SEC opponent.
Nah, Texas Bowl, we're out of that. That's West Virginia versus Auburn right now.
Then they must have moved up in the pecking order.
We may
changes
have.
Like every year.
We made that bowl at 7-6 a couple, or no, we were 7-5. Yeah, we're not gonna make that bowl. We're gonna make like the Birmingham Bowl or something stupid again.
Yeah, the Cheez-It Bowl.
To, like
the toilet bowl.
Like a Memphis or some team that you had no idea was playing football. All right, man. I want to thank Preston for joining us on episode 52 of the Come and Talk It podcast.
The what?
No.
Oh, my gosh. I was just trying to pull up the music, and I butchered that. Wow, we're going to get a cease and desist letter tomorrow when this releases. Episode 52 of the 23 Personnel podcast. We haven't been the Come and Talk It for, like 8 months.
It's been a while.
It's been a long while once we fought the good fight against the Second Amendment AM talk show out of Austin.
We successfully rebranded.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us this week. We're going to skip what we learned because the phone's going to die here any second. Michael, thanks for giving us your Tuesday night while we're fine. Tuesday night as we preview the Baylor game. For Michael, I'm Spencer. Again, thanks for joining us on the 23 Personnel podcast.